So upon whom the ends of the world are come, let us pray, dear Father, we are living the last days. And there is warning. You want us to follow and to be careful about what we do and what we say. Help us understand this message. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So, we are studying this topic, which should be very interesting. It may take some time, but it will be very interesting. And we need to understand that there are things that have taken place long time ago in the Old Testament will probably be repeated in our time. The Bible is not a compilation of history text. You know that. It is the revelation of God's message to humanity, particularly to us living the last days of this earth history. History is meant to be recorded that future generations may not commit the same errors of the past. This is a good reason to know your history. Whether it be Americans, Haitians, Jamaicans, Africans, wherever you may be originated from, do not ever forget your history. But particularly as Seventh-day Adventists, we should never forget our history. Our root. All right? The word of God says that the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. This is a prophecy of things that will be repeated. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which will be done. And there is no, can you continue with me? There is no, can you continue with me, please? And there is no new thing under the sun. What does that mean? We just read it. So you may be asking yourself, why am I seeing these taking place right before my own eyes? Why are my children are experiencing those things? Why should they see that? The Bible says, do not bother yourself asking these kind of questions, because the children back then have seen these things. Let us pray one more time. Dear Father, use me. Open the eyes of your children to see. Forgive our sins. Bestow upon your children your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. Before prayer, I read for you the wise warning of Solomon, David's son, which says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Now, our text comes from this one, a text of meditation. Now, these things were our examples. When you see an example, there is something that comes before it. You follow after the pattern of something that existed before. What you're doing is an example of what you have seen. Your teacher gives you a math problem to solve, and he told you you can do it on your own because he has already given you an example. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We will study many texts from the Bible, and I hope you will open your book in Esther chapter 1. But for now, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, which says, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom," that's exactly where I got the title of my subject from, "upon whom the ends of the world are come." Now, let me ask a question. Are we living the last days of the earth history? A few people say, yes, yes, it is. We are living the very last days of our earth history. You just need to go to any social media platform. You just need to watch. I don't watch CNN. We don't watch TVs in my home. But if you were to go watch any of these television networks, you would understand that we are living the last days. This is a lesson that church members must never forget. Though this text is not possibly related to our topic, but it is a principle that we need to carry with us, that whatever an aspect of history, it is meant to serve us as an example so the next generations can repeat it if it's good, or reject it if it's not good, if it's evil, if it's wrong. We must be instructed by our past. Let's go to Esther, chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm preaching that message as a warning. This morning we were studying the lesson that contained many warnings to church members that we should not be taken unawares. And this is one set of warnings sent by God to church members here in Elmira and to those who will be following online. "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus," this is Ahasuerus, "which ran from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces." How many provinces in our language? 127 provinces. This king was a king of kings. That was a world government. From India, this is the Bible. This is way before Jesus Christ. This is in the time of Daniel, the time of Esther, time of Ezekiel, time of Jeremiah. From India to Ethiopia, that means about 127 countries were part of that world, one world government. And any time, don't sleep,
Anytime there is a one world government, you need to watch out. Something will happen. This is it. This is the territory of the one world government in the time of the second kingdom. The first being the Babylonian kingdom. The second being the Medo-Persian Empire. 127 countries. At that time, America did not exist. The countries that existed back then were African countries, Middle Eastern countries, some countries in Europe and Asia. But America did not exist. All right. So, Esther 1 verse 7. It's dead. And they gave them drink. There was something happening in the kingdom of Ahasuerus. And then the king has decided to organize a feast for the whole kingdom. And they gave them drink, talking about the king giving drink to his. Okay? Drink to everyone that has been invited to the feast, like it was in the time of Daniel, when there was the erection of what? Of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar has erected for every nation of the earth to bow down before it to worship him. And what did the king give to them? Royal wine in abundance. So, verse 10, on the seventh day, which is not Saturday, okay? When the heart of the king was merry, with what? Wine. How many days did they spend drinking and eating? Dancing and whatever. On the seventh day, that means at least they've been feasting for 7 days. When the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of the king. He asked them to do what? To bring whom? Vashti. Who was Vashti? The queen. Before the king. Why should she come? Why has she been called to come before the king? To show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. Is that a good reason to call your wife before your audience? Is it moral to ask your wife to come dance before your audience? You said no. To me, it's no. You said no to, sister. I would not, because probably I would be a little bit jealous because somebody may be looking a little bit. You see what I'm saying? Thank you, my brother. Hey. So, all right. Hopefully it will work. All right. So, would you come if your husband were to ask you to come dance in front of everybody? Would you do that? I don't think you would do that. Well, I'm telling you, there are consequences for drinking wine. There are consequences for drinking wine. If this man were not drinking wine for 7 days, he would not ask his wife to come dance, to come show herself before his convives. Solomon says, wine is a marker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If you drink in wine, you're not wise. Proverbs 31 verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. I don't know how you read it. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Is it wise for a king, for judges, for mayors, for senators, for House representatives, for these people to be drinking? Is it wise for the head of the churches, pastors, elders, deacons to be drinking? It is not wise for anybody to drink, but especially for those who are in charge of making decision. It's not wise. Solomon says it. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Genesis 9 verses 21 to 24. After drinking wine, Noah lost his mind and showed his nakedness. When you drink, you don't know what you're doing. And then curses followed after. Genesis 19 verses 32 to 35. Lot was made drunk by his own daughters and was assaulted by them. They know what wine can do. These are consequences of drinking wine. And we will see a little bit what I am talking about. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar has taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. So when there is feast, you will see a lot of drinking, a lot of nonsenses. People will be drinking, dancing, doing this and doing that. Am I correct? And much more. Somebody may make you drunk and you don't know, and something happens to you. And unfortunately, there were cameras all over. Down the road, something will be revealed. 10 years after, 20 years after, you are brought. Okay, let me keep it to myself. They drink wine and praise the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Daniel 5 verse 23. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. Daniel is talking to whom? Belshazzar. Why is he talking that way to Belshazzar? Because Belshazzar was using what? The vessels that were taken from where? From the temple of God, which was located where? In Jerusalem. When that happened, when Nebuchadnezzar went where? To Jerusalem. To do what? To take a captivity to where? To Babylon. And he brought the vessels where? In the temple of his God. These vessels were sacred vessels. Even Nebuchadnezzar himself did not even use them. But this man said, I'm going to use them. And what happens? There was a hand writing on the wall the condemnation of the king Belshazzar, telling him that his kingdom will be taken away from him. Why did Belshazzar use the vessels coming from the temple of God and drinking them? He was drunk. He was drunk. And there followed another angel flying, saying, Babylon is falling, that great city, because what Babylon does? Follow me closely and be with me, please. Saying Babylon is falling, that great city, because she made what? All nations do what? Drink of what? The wine of the wrath of her fornication. When you drink a lot of wine, you can commit fornication. It's easy to be drinking wine and to be committing fornication. But this fornication is not physical. This fornication, this wine, is spiritual. Because Babylon is not the city back then in the time of Daniel. It is in our time. We don't have Babylon anymore as being the capital city of the world, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. We just studied, you just read, that Solomon said that kings and princes should not be drinking what? Wine. They should not. And this morning we studied that there will be deceptions coming our way. These constitute the wine of Babylon. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk. Let me repeat myself. When you're drunk, you don't know what you're doing. Somebody may be beating you, and you don't feel it. And you want to be beating more, even more. Have been drunk with the wine of her fornication. For all nations have drunk all nations. It's not just one nation. It's not just America or Germany or Italy or France. It's all nations. All nations and all the kings of the earth will be drunk of the wine of Babylon. Huh. Esther 1, we go back to Esther. Now, because Vashti has decided not to come over to show herself to the invite, what happens? The great of the king have decided to make a proposal to the king regarding the attitude of Vashti toward not just the king, according to them, toward the great of the king. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it not be altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. She didn't do anything wrong. Why does that happen to Vashti? Because of morality. But God knows what he is doing. God knows what he allows to happen, whether it be back then or now. Verse 2. Esther chapter 2, verse 5. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew. Wow. A certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, coming from Benjamin. The tribe was called, he was a Benjamite. Okay, what happens? He was also among the subject of the king Ahasuerus. It seems to me that he was one of the doorkeepers. Verse 6. Who had been carried away from Jerusalem? Daniel was there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were there when the king, what is the name of the king, who brought a captivity to Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, say it however you want to say it. Who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, which was the king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. All right. This is Esther. Beautiful, eh? Is she not beautiful? Just one person say, or two persons say, yeah, she is beautiful. Or three persons say, yeah, she is beautiful. Yeah, she is beautiful. And he bought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. She was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai took for his own daughter. So now we have two names of people who were serving. She was not serving yet. She will be serving as queen of the king, replacing Vashti, that has been disqualified because of her quote-unquote misconduct. Verse 17, and the king loved Esther above all the women. Who were those women? Who were all those women?
Concubines.
Eh? Yes, but here the verse is talking about all the beautiful virgins that were gathered all over the kingdom. 127 provinces, they brought them to Shushan, where the king was, so that they can choose among them all the best for the king. And the king loved Esther above all the women, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Verse 18. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. So the feast was organized for Esther primarily, because she will be the next queen over the whole kingdom, like Daniel was. Let me move forward. Esther 3, verse 1. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman? Ah, there's somebody else. What is the name of that person? Haman. And what did the king do for him? He advanced him. What does that mean? Set his seat above all the princes that were with him. That means he was vice king. Now, what happens? Haman was not a Jew. All the other nations of the earth had their own set of laws. Jews have their own laws. Their laws are totally different from the other nations' law. So there will be a clash. Are you ready for the clash? Verse 3. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. For the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. This is Mordecai. he sat down. This is someone who bowed down before him. And this is another one. This is Haman. But Mordecai said, no, I will not do that. Thou shalt not bow down before any man. Are you following? All right. The word of God prohibits idolatry. My daughter spoke about it this morning. Or creatures worship. The Jews were well versed in that commandment. Daniel, who was a vice king, had faced the same type of idolatry and refused to pray except the king for a whole month. He got cast into the lion's den. What happened to Daniel? Did he get eating?
No.
What happened? His life was spared by God's angel. Mordecai said he neither will worship a human being. We can say amen as much as we can, but some Seventh-day Adventist church members will bow down the road in a very near future. Seventh-day Adventists, many of us, will leave the ranks and go into other denominations to worship the beast. And you will see it. So, there is a price to pay for that refusal. Esther 3 verse 3, what does it say? What does it say? Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressed thou the king's commandment? What was the commandment? Everybody should bow down before whom? Haman. That means you need to worship him. Church and state union. The church asked the state to enforce her law. And the state decided to follow through. The state decide to come up with a commandment to enforce what the church has said. Church and state union. Verse 3, 4. Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, unto whom? Unto Mordecai, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman. Haman did not see that. Some people, I don't want to pronounce the word. There's a word that my wife taught me. Close your eyes, and not eyes. Stop your ears, not to hear what I'm going to say. Brown nose. They went to the king. No, to him, and he said, have you not noticed that Mordecai refused to pay reverence to you and to bow down? Mordecai, Haman said, it cannot be so. Cannot be so. Now, they do that to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand for the, for he had told them that he was a Jew. Once you say that you are a Jew, you need to prove that you are a Jew. That you are serving one God, the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Once you say that you are Seventh-day Adventist, prove it. Because Seventh-day Adventists, we have our own laws coming from the Bible. We are serving God, not human beings, not images, nothing else than God. All right, verse 3, and when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. 6. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone. Now, because of one person, the whole nation will be in trouble. All the Jews who were in captivity will be in trouble because of one person. Probably some church members said, if Brother Pierre was not or were not preaching about these things, probably we would not be in such a problem. Yes, I need to preach so that everybody can be in trouble. Persecution should be around here long ago. Because we're not preaching persecution last longer. Delays. We need because without persecution, there will be no crown. Without cross, there will be no crown. You are delaying the crown to come upon your head. We need the crown. We need to be kings, not on this earth, but in the new earth. Wherefore, amen, sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom. That means it was not just in Shushan, it was in all the provinces, including Israel. All the 127 provinces, everybody who was a Jew should be killed. Is it not the same thing? Will it not be the same thing for us? All across the globe, there will be a death decree like that? Because of one person. Because we're preaching about Christ, one person. And Amen said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad. Amen symbolizes the church. Amen symbolizes the church. Amen said unto, when I say the church, I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the fallen churches, Catholic and Protestant churches alike, will constitute Amen. Okay, Amen constitute them, symbolizes them. And Amen said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad, like Seventh-day Adventists, and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of the kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Are we not like that? Are we not talking about the Ten Commandments? Are not the other people saying that the Ten Commandments are done away with, nailed to the cross? Are we not the only nations in terms of church preaching that we should be keeping the whole Ten Commandments of God, including the fourth one? And their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. Esther 3, verse 9. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. Wow. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business, to bring it into the king's treasuries. What is involved? Money. And I'm telling you, money will be involved in the decision making to destroy all of those who keep the commandments of God, particularly the fourth commandment. Verse 10, and the king took his rings, that means the seal. Without the seal, whatever document it is void. His ring from his hand and gave it unto Amen, the Jews' enemies. Who is our enemy? Amen is our enemy. Who does Amen represent? The churches. So who is our enemy, or who are our enemies? The churches. Why? Because they believe that we should be serving God their ways, not our ways, not the way of the Bible. Esther 3, verse 11. And the king said unto Amen, the silver is given to thee, people also to do with them as it seemed good to do. To thee. And there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after the language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus, was written and sealed with the king's ring. Verse 13. And the letters were sent by post. Back then, there were what? Post offices. In the letters, when you want to send a letter without an internet, what did you use? Mailbox. Or you go to the post office to send your letter wherever you want to send it, whether it be local or abroad. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women. In one day, this is not a joke, one day everyone should be killed. Even up on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month, whatever you call it. Verse 14. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people that they should be ready against that day to kill. Be ready. Among those countries you have Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Libya, Egypt, Syria, Israel, Kuwait, whatever you call them. Verse 15. The post went out being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan, the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. One more time. But the city Shushan was perplexed. Now, it will be done by the media in our time. By the media of the beast, such as Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, CNN, MSNBC, CBS, CBN, ABC, Fox News, local stations. There will be the new post office to bring the news as fast as they can to the world to kill those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. So it will go quick. Verse 3. And every province, whichsoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When you know that Sunday law is right around the corner, you should be spending time in prayer, in fasting, in wailing. God, spare your children, because they will not spare even the little children. Just telling you. And Mordecai told them of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan. This is Esther asking an envoy that Mordecai has sent to Esther to ask her to intervene so that the people would not be destroyed. So that Esther asked this man to go to Mordecai and ask all the Jews to spend 3 days, if I'm not mistaken, in prayer, in fasting, in wailing, in mourning, because all of them will be killed. Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. You know this part of the history. Haman said, okay, I will kill first who? I will kill. Who will Haman decide to kill first? Mordecai. How will he kill him? he will hang him. Who has advised him to do that? His wife and his friend. What does a wife symbolize in the Bible? The church. And Mordecai will not be hanged. Who will be hanged in his stead? Haman himself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So those people, this is his wife, advising him what he should be doing to kill these people. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. These are signs, these are events that will take place in our time. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found in the book, written in the book. Who will not be in that book? Who will be in that book? Just the very few elect will be in that book, the book of life. When the third angel's message closes, mercy no longer pleads for the guilty inhabitants of the earth. The people of God have accomplished their work. They have received the latter rain, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and they are prepared for the trying hour before them. Angels are hastening to and fro in heaven. An angel returning from the earth announces that to Jesus Christ, his work is done. The final test has been brought upon the world, and all who have proved themselves loyal to the divine precept have received the seal of the living God. Then Jesus ceases his intercession in the sanctuary above. Then Jesus ceases, okay? And then all the angelic host lay off their crowns as he makes the solemn announcement. What is the solemn announcement made by Jesus? He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Do not allow anybody to deceive you, to believe that there will be another chance. This text says there will be no more chance. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. Righteous still. Holy still. Every case has been decided for life or death. Christ has made the atonement for his people and blotted out their sins. The number of his subject is made up. Let me go faster to finish. The restraint which has been upon the wicked is removed. And Satan has entire control of the finally impenitent. Now, let me say something that I've been saying in my families when we worship. That is trending as I'm talking. There is an AI movement, artificial intelligence, that those technology people are bringing forth. Among them, you have Elon Musk. Actually, his wife is a robot, as I'm talking to you. They want to download our thoughts in some kind of cloud, or in some kind of what they call iCloud. We need to be careful of that. There's no way that a technological device can recognize our thought if it were not given to it by the devil. Now, the devil does not know our thoughts except if he is the one putting the thought in our brain so that he can download it. Now, when you spend time with God in reading Bible and spirit of prophecy, Satan will not have power over your brain. But God will be the only one having power over your brain. But if you spend too long on television, on smart devices, electronic devices like iPad or apps like WhatsApp or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, those things, Satan will use them to know what is taking place in your brain. At that time, Satan has entire control of the finally impenitent. If you go back to Genesis, you will read that God said, the thought of man turned continually every day evil. Their thoughts were evil continually every day. Why? Because they gave heed to Satan. Let me finish. Oh my God, too many points, beautiful points to talk a little bit about. It will be urged that the few who stand in opposition to an institution of the church and a law of the state ought not to be tolerated, that it is better for them to suffer than for whole nations to be thrown into confusion and lawlessness. This argument will appear conclusive, and a decree will finally be issued against those who hallow the Sabbath of the fourth commandment, denouncing them as deserving of the severest punishment and giving the people liberty after a certain time to put them to death. Romanism, which is the beast in the old world, and apostate Protestantism, which is the false prophet in the new, will pursue a similar course toward those who honor all divine precept. Was it not the same thing in the time of Esther and Mordecai? Yes, history will repeat itself. There will be plottings anywhere you go. Everywhere you go, there will be plotting against us, as there were plottings against Mordecai and his people. A faith we need. We need the season of distress and anguish before us will require a faith that can endure weariness, delay, and hunger. The period of probation is granted to all to prepare for that time. We need faith that can endure weariness, delay, and hunger. Brothers and sisters, let me stop it here. Things that took place back then will happen in our time. Are we ready? I pray that God would make us ready, not just us here in Elmira, but anywhere else his children are, everyone should be ready. Otherwise, these people will be lost forever. God bless you.
Dear Father, we thank you that you spoke to us today, warning of what will take place. Actually, these things we should be well familiar with these. But they need to be repeated so that we can take or make some wise decisions that we should not be taken unawares when these things will take place. Bless us above measure and bring us back home safely. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.